In the news update on the 24th of September, 2022, on this special emergency broadcast transmission, hour number two, broadcasting on satellite terrestrial network and Sirius XM radio networks, and on podcasting platforms. And also, our podcast name is Top Headlines, National and International News Stories. You can find us on Spotify.fm, Anchor.fm, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts, plus many more. Stay tuned for hour number two of the special emergency transmission.
Into the conference day after I left the stand in front of everybody. They are completely freaked out. They're asking me to be sanctioned and all the rest of it for doing press conferences. They don't think it went well, but start wherever you want because this is a historic case, obviously, and the blueprint to take everybody else down, so lay it out for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a show trial. It is a classic version of a show trial. I mean, even the Soviets would be embarrassed by aspects of this show trial. And what I mean by that is it's a trial where you're not allowed to have your day in court. The American system of justice is all about everybody gets their, quote, day in court. So much so that it's a common term of colloquially used in everyday terminology. And yet that is precisely what they've stripped you and denied you from doing. You can't even say the name Hillary Clinton. You can't say certain words. You can't claim you're innocent. The judge even instructed that you couldn't even say anything beyond yes or no. I mean, that's how ludicrous it was. And why is that? And then you've had a bunch of evidence presented that has absolutely nothing to do with compensatory injury, which purportedly is what this trial is limited to. Almost all the evidence, I mean, they were talking about Ukraine. They were talking about big tech. They're talking a lot about you. They're talking a lot about InfoWars. They're not talking about what damages individual plaintiffs suffer.
I mean, let's be clear, just to interject here. They showed a magazine we put out with Obama on the cover saying Obama comes for your guns. Let them talk about how I didn't like Obama in case jurors were Democrats. And when my lawyer tried to come back and cross-examine, the judge said no politics. I mean...
Oh, exactly. It's very much scripted. And there's the point of this whole trial is to present a trial where only one side is allowed to present their case. And it's the part of the case that's not considered relevant for this stage of the trial. And that's exactly what's taking place. And fortunately, you were able to successfully resist their effort for you to play to their script, for you to stick to their tale, for you to play the villain in their role. Because the truth of the matter, it's why they could never afford a trial on the merit. It's why they could never give you your day in court, as we've seen presented. I mean, the lead witness was an FBI guy who knew nobody who died that day. Why is he suing? Why is he here? He's still in the FBI. FBI lawyer. An FBI lawyer suing Alex Jones.
And he admitted that I never said his name and he never heard of me until the suit.
Yeah, what he said on the stand, he didn't identify a single statement he heard you make that caused him any distress. He didn't report any of that I saw on the stand at all. And he's their lead witness, their lead plaintiff in this case. That speaks volumes to what's going on. You have a FBI lawyer helping to initiate and instigate this case, suing for things like consumer fraud when he didn't buy a product or anything from InfoWars, suing for defamation and libel and intentional infliction of emotional distress, when he never heard InfoWars mention him at all, ever, and he couldn't even identify what statement it was by InfoWars that caused him distress. That shows you how nuts it is. And his own testimony rebutted the plaintiff's theory, which is the Sandy Hook denier community long predated and long postdated anything Alex Jones or InfoWars ever said about the subject for a moment. And so this has nothing to do with you. They're trying to blame you for the actions of other people that they can't even tie or connect to you because it doesn't even line up chronologically. So it exposed their whole case in a quick, easy nutshell. And then you add to that, that they have had all this evidence. I mean, how was a default judgment issued on the theory that you didn't produce discovery when they have more discovery than any plaintiff has ever had in the history of libel lawsuits?
They have all the banking, all the text messages, all the emails, the daily orders, which they cherry picked the few biggest days to make our viewers think we have plenty of money. They have, and they're showing it, and then we're not allowed to say we gave them evidence.
Exactly. Not allowed to say you're innocent. Not allowed to say their whole theory of the case is wrong and bogus. It is what Norm Pattis described it as in the opening statement in the case, your lawyer. What Norm said is that this is an attempt to weaponize private grief into political profit.
And by the way, let me just commend you. you were on the case for about a year, but you had so many cases and it was in multiple states that you bowed out. You're the guy that hired Norm Pattis, and he's definitely done a really good job.
Yeah, Norm is a great old school civil rights lefty. You know, he's like Dershowitz. He's one of those people that actually part of the old left, the, you know, the Berkeley free speech movement, that still believes in free speech, that still believes in due process, that still believes in trial by jury, that still believes in defending the dissidents, the independents, the outspoken voices disfavored by the institutional power and establishment. And I think what we saw, I mean, everything was grandstanding from the plaintiffs. 90% of the evidence had nothing to do with what was supposedly is being tried here. Any aspect of the defense was mostly precluded in gag. I have never seen a judge tell a party that they can't answer any question except by yes or no. And many of those questions were simply not yes or no questions. There are questions that could not be capably answered yes or no. And then if you speak out, you're threatened with contempt charges. If you speak out in front of the courthouse and exercise your First Amendment in front of the courthouse, they're attacking you and wanting to sanction you for that.
And remember, she said, you can't speak to these eight things. You're innocent, bankruptcy, Remington settlement, any of that. And the other lawyers won't ask you that. That's all Maddie did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because the goal was to pre-script the trial. So the judge says you can't answer in certain ways. The judge is allowing the lawyer to ask a lot of questions and go into a lot of evidence that has nothing to do with damages, nothing to do with compensatory injury. And that was the goal. It's very much what show trials were all about. Show trials were about scripting something for public theater. And that's what this entire case has been about, because the court has ignored basic rules of due process and trial by jury and rules of evidence in the process. Not allowing the rule of completeness, for example, requires they present your entire statement as to a subject. They're refusing to do that. Not allowing you to present it to contrast with it. Not allowing impeachment material. I mean, for example, I was waiting to hear from any of the plaintiffs how they that their injury was caused by something you said or did. And instead, what I heard were stories that didn't mostly relate to you at all. And it's like, what? I mean, they're now not only eviscerating First Amendment protections in order to undermine Second Amendment outspokenness in America, while getting rid of due process under the Fifth Amendment, right to counsel protections under the Sixth Amendment, right to trial by jury under the Seventh Amendment, all of those things. They're also now trying to selectively say that if you say certain things and somebody else does something, you're responsible for what those things are, but only if you're on the wrong political side, even if they have no causal connection. How were people harassing Sandy Hook parents related to anything InfoWars said when InfoWars had said nothing about Sandy Hook?
And by the way, they have no evidence of anybody harassing him. It's all literally, the only person I ever said his name is Robbie Parker. And I said, the internet thinks this is fake. Here's the clip. I said Sandy Hook happened for like a year. The internet didn't believe it. Our listeners said, please look into this. So I said, let's look into it. So the idea that I can't even question is just insane. I can't get into attorney-client stuff, obviously, Robert, but they were calling our lawyers back there yesterday morning. They were in full panic. They were on the ropes, and they basically didn't even want me to testify yesterday and didn't know what to do. And we said, yeah, we'll just come back and we're able to, quote, present our case, even though we're handcuffed and straitjacketed and restricted next week. Why even have, you know, Norm do a cross-examination on the limited stuff Maddie said, because Maddie crapped the bed in Norm Pattis' words. But they were in complete panic. Even the media agreed that it blew up in their face. Chris Maddie went completely insane. We'll play the clip coming up here in a few minutes. Where do you see all this going?
Well, I mean, I think their script is not going planned, because their script is false, and that's their problem. And so they're trying to die. And because Norm Pattis has refused to go along with their effort to script this trial, and you refused to go along with efforts to limit your ability to defend yourself adequately as you're constitutionally entitled to within the rules, they're not having success, and you're seeing their emotional frustration be publicly expressed. I mean, to be honest with you, from a pure legal perspective, lawyer perspective, this has been very incompetent representation. I mean, these parents have had ineffective representation. I understand that this is a very politically powerful, connected law firm in Connecticut, but I've heard from many people who are on the plaintiff's side in this case who thought that the plaintiff's lawyer was terrible. And it's because he's more politically motivated to prosecute this case, it appears to me, than he is actually getting to truth or justice, because actual justice would rule against him, and actual truth is in fact against him. And that's why he can't, that's why he's stuck in this situation trying to do a Soviet style, Stasi style, Cuban Fidel Castro style show trial, but can't achieve it because the truth is still leaking out anyway. The emotional truth, the normative truth, the factual truth, all coming out, that these are mostly drummed up charges based on a false, fake narrative that never happened. Alex Jones and InfoWars didn't make money off Sandy Hook. Alex Jones and InfoWars were not the originators, instigators, or primary propagators of any second guessing of Sandy Hook. The main 99% of what InfoWars published and printed and broadcast is that Sandy Hook happened. The question was, I mean, they can't even understand what the Reichstag fire is. They can't even understand what a false flag is. A false flag originated from pirates putting up a false flag to trick the boat they were about to hijack and loot. That doesn't mean the looting didn't happen or the hijacking didn't happen. A false flag is an event that did in fact happen, but the cause and the culprit are inaccurately identified. And that is precisely what's been taking place and what were the issues concerning Sandy Hook, which, as it turns out, the politicians pocketed the money rather than put school safety first. And if they had done so, if they'd done something as simple as allow teachers to lock the inside of the doors of the bathrooms inside their classrooms, be able to lock the inside of the doors into their classrooms, be able to have other means of self-defense available, such as trained people with guns in the teachers and school safety personnel, then the reality is a lot of those kids are alive today. But the politicians couldn't let that message get out. And the reality is the Democratic Party, he didn't like the fact that you put up a poll at InfoWars that asked what might be a future false flag, but that's because what's the political reality right now? Political reality right now is the more school shootings happen, the more plaintiff's lawyers like his firm profit. The more school shootings happen, the more the Democratic Party, with their gun control agenda, profit. They don't have an incentive to maximize school safety. And that's why they covered up what happened at Sandy Hook and the school safety inadequacies that took place there. And it's also why they're voting against school safety bills in Congress as we speak. And that's why they're lobbying against it in state legislatures across the country. Uvalde didn't have to happen. Other school shootings didn't have to happen if we would have implemented better school safety techniques. And the big one is, who's been the big profiter from school shootings? The media. The media knows from multiple studies that the reason why these nut jobs are attacking schools is because that's the easiest and quickest way to get major notoriety. The media knows that if they gave them no coverage, didn't mention them their name, didn't put their face out there, didn't talk about them at all, that school shootings would dramatically reduce. And yet, what do? They actually double down and increase the coverage of school shootings. Because why? Because it puts money in their pocket. It drives ratings. That's who profited off of Sandy Hook. That's who profited off the shooting on Sandy Hook. That's who's profited from the cover-up of aspects of Sandy Hook. The institutional media, the people that are aligned with the plaintiff's lawyers in this case politically. And that is exactly what's really transpiring. And they can't talk about that. They can't talk about true school safety. They can't talk about one of the things on the very first night that Sandy Hook happened. You were talking about we should be looking at Big Pharma. We should be looking at the mental health crisis of young men in America. We should be looking at a culture that celebrates and glorifies violence amongst young men. That we should be looking at we should be looking at school safety network. What we shouldn't be looking at is Second Amendment rights of law-abiding Americans. And they've always been outraged by that because they wanted to blame the gun rather than let the world know Big Pharma has culpability here, because the way in which young men are being medicated on some of these drugs is often backfiring and has side effects they often don't fully know about or meaningfully remediate. They don't want to talk about inadequacies of school safety because that implicated the Democratic politicians and political class in Connecticut. And they don't want to talk about culture that glamorizes violence because it's a culture they profit from. And they don't want to talk about media glamorizing these individuals that commit these horrible crimes because big media profits a lot of the pockets the cash the most from anybody. And that's why they had to blame the gun and blame Alex Jones. They couldn't blame the shooter. They couldn't blame mental health. They couldn't blame school safety. They couldn't blame Big Pharma. And they needed to continue to happen because it's the only way they'll continue to politically profit off of these school shootings. And that's what's disturbing. That's what's maybe most unsettling, is a case that's about preventing the harm from school shootings and the consequences to vulnerable parents is being used to cover up the true culpable parties for this school shooting and to falsely blame those who are trying to defend constitutional rights and liberties in America. So if we're serious about constitutional rights and liberties, we have to defend everything concerning this trial, which implicates First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, Seventh Amendment rights. They couldn't have a conscientious trial. They couldn't have a trial that comports with due process. They couldn't give you your day in court, even with a liberal Democratic Connecticut jury pool, because they knew that the truth, even with that liberal Democratic jury pool, would set you free, would determine that justice is on your side, not the plaintiff's lawyer's side, trying to politically weaponize family grief for their personal and political profit. And that's what they couldn't have the world know, and that's why they've gone to such great lengths to strip you of your right to your day in court.
Robert Barnes, I've got a few clips I want to play, but there was that whole exchange with me and Maddie. The full thing hasn't been put on Twitter, but it's like 5 minutes long where he's screaming at me, he's yelling at me, he's freaking out, and I call him an ambulance chaser. He doesn't know what to say. Why is everyone, even on their side, saying this was such a disaster for them?
Because there's a tactical way to approach this. In other words, if he was motivated by protecting the interest of his clients first, then that's a very different, one, there's really no relevance to your testimony, because at this point it's only about compensatory injury, right? So even putting you on the stand is about grandstanding political theater by the plaintiff's lawyer for his personal political profit, not for the gain interest of his clients. It's relevant material to the trial. That's part one. But part two is his approach. Focus on whatever injury he believes that they have suffered, discussing those issues with you. They talk about your views on a whole bunch of topics. Your polling on whether they happen before the midterm. He's asking you about other prosecutors. He's asking you generic product. He's trying to misattribute and misallocate blame by trying to blame you for the actions of third parties you have nothing to do with. Also trying to pretend that InfoWars is successful or would get any level of public support from Sandy Hook. Everybody who follows InfoWars knows that's false, knows that's always been false. Sandy Hook didn't make money for InfoWars. Sandy Hook cost money for InfoWars. He knows that. So he's got to try to hide and lie and grandstand. But because he's dealing from a deck of deceit, he cannot come across as a credible, authentic, truthful voice in the courtroom. And that's why he continued to look bad, is because he was unable to trap you. He was unable to provoke you into the caricatured response they imagine you are. And he was unable to get away with constant lies in the manner and method in which he made his presentation. And as he couldn't get away with it, in his grandstand vision of this political theater where he's the hero at the end of the documentary in the film, he lost it. And that's why people watching are like, hold on a second. I thought this was about parents. I thought this was about emotional injury. I thought this was about undisputed dishonesty. I'm not seeing any of that. I'm seeing politics, 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 theater, 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 because that's in fact what the plaintiff's counsel has always been about. They have used these parents for the gain of the political class with which they are aligned and the political causes with which they are assigned. That's the reality of it.
I want to get into Matt Gaetz. I want to get into COVID and their ongoing forced inoculations failing around the country. I want to hit the Russia escalation. It's obviously the central big point here. But in a few more minutes of this, why did Democrats in the deep state not think 2, 3, 4 steps ahead? Or are they? Because like fat people at a buffet, they did 3 trials. One's already happened in Texas. One is in the middle right now in Connecticut. Another in months here in Texas. And the longer they run show trials, it's one thing to run one. People's already questioning. Now they're really seeing it's rigged, and everybody realizes they're being conned, so they're paying very close attention now. By the third one, everybody's going to know it's rigged, and it's going to blow up in their face. I mean, that, as a layperson, that's what I see, Robert.
Oh, exactly. And it was, when I was telling people for months that these are show trials, that these are based on a fake narrative, this is a fake case, and it's a fake case because it's a narrative that's false. It's a narrative that's fictional. It's a narrative that was never true. InfoWars didn't stalk anybody. InfoWars didn't send people to stalk anybody. InfoWars didn't even talk about almost everybody suing ever. InfoWars mostly was a critic of Paul Joseph Watson, the editor during this entire time frame, was a critic of the Sandy Hook denier movement. InfoWars was a restraint on the Sandy Hook denier movement. The InfoWars made no money off of the Sandy Hook denier movement.
We had debates. We had on-air debates on who was right.
Absolutely. Indeed, people were mad at you, calling you Beau Bridges, saying that you were fake, because you were critical of the Sandy Hook denier movement for so long and so often, and so many other people were at InfoWars. And the reality is, the reason why the people went to conspiracy theories in the denier movement was because the politicians in Connecticut were covering up their complicity and culpability in the inadequacy of school safety. That's why they're destroying the school. That's why they're hiding information from the Sunshine Laws. That's why they're not producing information pursuant to Freedom of Information Act, Open Records Act requests. That triggered a lot of people's conspiracy theories. They end up being wrong in their conclusion, but there was in fact cover-up taking place by the political class in Connecticut. And the only case the Connecticut courts didn't allow to go forward was the one that exposed the schools for inadequate school safety. They allowed $73 million shakedown of a gun manufacturer's insurers, and now they're allowing another effort to...
Not and by the way, the judge bars me from letting him know about that. Here's the clip that Cernovich put out. He said he's a lawyer as well. Courtroom drama you won't see in a show, and this is real. Here is just part of the meltdown of Chris Matting.
That's the real Robin Parker, isn't it?
I mean, I said years ago, I thought something was going to happen.
Robin Parker's sitting right here. He's real, isn't he?
Yes.
And for years, you put a target on his back, didn't you?
Objection, the foreman and judge.
Well, I mean,
didn't you?
I've said his name. It's true. I haven't said other people's names, but here they are.
You put a target on his back just like you did every single parent and loved one sitting here.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
That's argumentative. There's no speculative. There is no foundation for it. And it's inappropriate.
That's so hard.
These are real people. You know what I mean?
I think you're supposed to move on.
Just like all the Iraqis, but you liberals kill and love. Just, you're unbelievable. You switch on emotions on and off when you want. It's just ambulance chasing.
Why don't you show a little respect? Objection, Judge. I think that you get what you give in this court. Objection.
You have families in this court here that lost children, sisters, wives, moms.
Is this a struggle session? Are we in China? I've already said I'm sorry hundreds of times, and I'm done saying I'm sorry. I didn't regenerate this. I wasn't the first person to say it. American governors didn't like being blamed for this, as the left did, so we rejected it mentally and said it must not be true. But I legitimately thought it might have been staged, and I stand by that, and I don't apologize for it.
And don't apologize, Mr. Jones. Please don't apologize.
No, I've already apologized to the parents over
because
and over again.
You know,
I don't apologize to you.
Objection.
Don't apologize to you.
You're going to do it again.
Objection, Judge. Objection. Argumentative.
Don't apologize to you.
Well, it's hard for me to get a word in edgewise.
It is, but
because
I think there's
client.
One officer of the court and one witness here. Witness and an officer of the court for the objection.
And I can't rule on your attorney's.
And then she went on to act like my lawyer and me did it. What do you make of part of that exchange, Robert Barnes?
Well, the judge has shown a lack of judicious temperament throughout the proceeding. I think the entire case has been an embarrassment and a shame on the American civil justice system. This is a show trial that even the Soviets would be ashamed of. And the court has not maintained any control over plaintiff's counsel whatsoever. And that's why these things are happening.
Absolutely. Barnes, I'm getting this other clip ready. I keep giving your analysis.
Absolutely. So, I mean, what you saw in that proceeding throughout, you've seen attempts by the judge to grant objections made by the plaintiff's counsel without any basis being identified. Right. So for those folks out there in the law, you can't just say objection. You have to say objection, certain rule, or certain evidentiary basis. She wasn't even requiring until this week a basis. The plaintiff's counsel would just get up and say objection, and she would just grant it, sustain it, but without any analysis, any argument, or even the legal basis being listed. It was just embarrassing. It was something like out of Idiocracy. The judge in Idiocracy has looked more fair and more impartial than this judge in Connecticut had. And it's because of the sort of political, partisan, professional class prejudice against populist and populist voices in America. That's also part of it. but it's also part and parcel of we cannot have these public tragedies and traumas be events whereby people use those for political partisan gain.
And let's be clear, and then say they're not political. Like they had this FBI agent, never said his name, didn't know who he was. He admitted I never talked about on the show, never showed an image of him, but he's suing me and he gets up there and attacks me and cries. Then they have a counterterrorism expert up saying I'm this mastermind Lex Luthor, but he's a guy actually involved in real psyops. It's just totally insane. The reason our information's powerful is we're saying drag queen pedophile time's wrong. Open borders is wrong. Fentanyl's wrong. War with Russia's wrong. The power of the propaganda is it's true. The power of the information is people agree. I'm just a regular guy who gets on the air and covers news, and that's what they're afraid of because I'm not taking orders from them. Here's another clip with your big hit partner with your syndicated show, Viva Fry, saying, I'm watching Alex Jones' testimony from yesterday. What is going on is truly making a mockery of the judicial system. This is a key clip. Here it is.
I can go in and I can pull up reports myself, but I've not been doing that because I don't.
Mr. Jones, the question is, who's doing it now when you do get up?
Well, I'm not allowed.
Does anybody send you?
Judge, I'm not trying to answer, Judge.
I'm not allowed under the judge's order to tell you about what happened to my company.
That's not true, Mr. Jones. What I'm asking you is who sends you daily sales reports?
He's answered. Yes, been answered several times.
I didn't get the answer, so you
say
he
answered. Okay. You're telling me to answer the question.
All right, so I'm going to excuse the jury again. You're going to get your exercise today for those of you who wear shit gets. So just put your pants down and you'll follow along.
I think
he's following the rules here. I think he was probably going to say one of the bankruptcy.
Who's
that? Just the bankruptcy people are in control of it.
Who sends you the daily sales report?
Objection.
All right, so.
They've taken it all.
Objection.
Well, that was nice and loud.
Oh, okay.
So.
That calls to be identity of a person.
No. So, in fairness to Mr. Jones, he could have said whatever the lingo is for a bankruptcy dog. What were you going to say?
Yes, until yesterday, the CRO, the bankruptcy, is in full control of everything. And they.
That's not responsive to my question.
Objection?
No.
Because I can't say it.
So, the question. No, you did the right thing. Okay. You asked who. Gets the daily sales reports now, and if the answer was the bankruptcy person, then he knows he's not supposed to say that.
I said, who sends you daily sales reports?
And he said no one does. When he gets them from the bankruptcy.
I don't think he said no one does.
He said no.
That is correct.
Every time.
All right, so what do you propose to do? Because he's following
Move
the
on.
Rules. Okay.
Now, the reason that's so important is it's now the bankruptcy CRO, who the court removed for other reasons just a week ago or a few days ago. Now I don't get them every day. I get it like every 3-4 days. I got to call them because it goes to their bank and I've got to then get the report. I don't get it live time anymore. That's what bankruptcy is. But that's not the issue. She's barred me from talking about this. He knows that and he brings that up knowing she's threatened me with criminal contempt, 6 months in jail if I tell them. And she promised, he's not going to be allowed to ask you these questions, but he still does it, Barnes. This is it just shows how we're straitjacketed here.
Oh, completely. And it's a, like you said, show trial. Everything about this is for political public theater. Everything about this is to try to induce additional sanctions for the court to misuse and abuse its power, as it already has in this case throughout. And so it reveals the true motives also of the case. If the case was about public justice for the parent, 90% of the trial wouldn't have happened. Take that expert, as you mentioned. That expert actually testified under penalty of perjury that big tech never manipulates anything, that it's other people who manipulate big tech. Can you imagine saying that under penalty of perjury? I mean, that is perjured testimony. No competent expert could say that honestly under penalty of perjury. So you have a so-called expert up there lying under oath who's going to face no consequences for it because of how corrupt the Connecticut legal political system has become in recent years. And Connecticut, unfortunately, has a long history of political corruption in this kind of case. Whereas you're being targeted if you simply answer the question, if you simply defend yourself adequately. You're being, and this was the whole case. This is how default came about. I mean, default came about because if you said you were innocent and did not have evidence of your guilt because you were innocent, they said, aha, that proves that you're guilty and we have to default you. That's how nuts this has been. It's been nuts. I mean, this has been Inquisition style justice. And it's an, I don't know of any American case that has been this egregious in its public display. That's why we have people like Nick Ricada, who's one of the lead law tubers that covers trials, covered the Rittenhouse trial, Johnny Depp trial, etc. He started covering this trial because he was outraged by what he was witnessing. It's like, this is all insanity. I mean, he just watched part of your testimony and the judge's behavior and plaintiff's counsel behavior, said plaintiff's counsel's behavior was outrageous and the judge's refusal to discipline him was the entire source of the issues.
Well, that's what Norm told me this morning. He said, if I did what Maddie did, I would have been arrested. And she didn't even overrule him.
And she's not disciplining him at all. She's not sanctioning him at all. There, he is caught directly asking a question he knew he was prohibited and agreed he would not ask. And when he's caught, he just keeps asking it over and over and over and over again. I mean, it reveals the... And why?
Because and he put in the filing judge. That I couldn't mention financials or bankruptcy.
Exactly. So you have a judge who's... The whole goal is you're only allowed to give the answers they want you to give. If you don't, they go ballistic, demand contempt, demand sanctions, demand some other action. While they themselves are asking the questions they know that you can't answer, or if you do answer honestly, you can get sanctioned for. It's insane at multiple levels. This whole trial is a joke. I mean, this trial, 90% of the evidence has nothing to do with what's supposedly on trial. Almost none of it has to do with, I'm a plaintiff, this happened to me, here's how it happened to me, here's who caused it, here's how I suffered. That's 10% of the testimony. And the 90% is why Alex Jones is bad and dangerous and must be shut up. And that's what the plaintiff's lawyer said in his opening statement. He defined justice as shutting you up. He defined justice as you never being able to get to a microphone ever again. Just like you showed in that clip. What is he obsessed with? He's obsessed with you being able to have a voice in the future. That's what he's obsessed with. And that has nothing to do with the Sandy Hook case.
So, Barnes, let me raise this, because I want to play a clip and then finish up with this and move on to geopolitics and Russia and Ukraine and the economy and pick your brain about Matt Gaetz and all of it. What do you think this is going to do in the short term, midterm, and long term? Because obviously the judge is starting to panic. Obviously, Maddie's panicking. He's being criticized everywhere as people see, my God, this is really a kangaroo court. And even mainline legal analysts who are Democrats are going, this is really embarrassing. I mean, what did they think was going to happen when they did this?
They thought their show trial would look like a Soviet-style show trial, that it would play to their script. And they don't know how to handle it when Norm Pattis refuses to forfeit his duties and obligations of advocacy for his client. They don't know how to handle it when you refuse to answer dishonestly and insist on answering honestly. I mean, as you pointed out, you know, he was like, oh, aren't you just obsessed with your perception? You're like, no, I'm obsessed with beating globalists. That's what I'm obsessed with. And he can't respond or retort because that doesn't fit their script. And they don't know how to react when their script isn't going to script. And so
he was projecting because all he cares about is looking at the camera, being a cutie cake. When, no, I'm ready to die for this. I mean, I try to tell the truth. I'm a good guy. Sometimes I get overzealous, but I care about defending them. That's the mission. Is defending you, jackass.
Absolutely. It's defeating this agenda that would strip us of our core rights and liberties. And this case is a perfect emblematic example of it. It not only implicates First Amendment freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of press, freedom of association, and the Second Amendment right to self-defense that depends on the First Amendment's ability to keep it robustly protected in the court of public opinion, but it's the right to privacy under the Fourth Amendment because a lot of information was forced to be disclosed that should not have been legally or constitutional. It's the Fifth Amendment right to due process, which is being denied on a regular basis.
And like you said, a lot of top lawyers are seeing this going, wait, all his evidence is on the screen. How is he defaulted?
Exactly. I mean, that's what because they all bought the media narrative. That, Jones never participated in discovery. Now he's told people that's a complete lie. You produced more discovery than any defendant in the history of a media libel case. I've challenged people for over a year now to produce any case where somebody was defaulted who produced the amount of discovery you did, or to produce any case where a media defendant produced as much discovery as you did. Does anybody think the New York Times and the Project Veritas case and the Sarah Palin case and the Nicholas Sandman case, Covington case, did they had to produce their financial information? I've seen no evidence.
No, they won't even produce their emails about Project Veritas.
Exactly.
They'll produce nothing.
Correct. And what we're seeing is this political weaponization of the legal system with judges who don't enforce the law and don't discipline rogue plaintiff and prosecutor lawyers that they're politically aligned with. And jury pools that are very tainted. I mean, you look at that Project Veritas verdict in the District of Columbia yesterday, that these are the kind of cases that are going to come about because they're doing what the Southern corrupt political apparatus did during the 1950s, which is weaponize the legal system, weaponize law enforcement, weaponize the justice system to suppress dissident speech on civil rights and civil liberties. That's how New York Times versus Sullivan came about. It was a huge verdict that was in excess of any reason or proportionality because the jury pool wanted to punish civil rights people. And unlike your case, in that case, they actually got a bunch of facts wrong. It wasn't like NAACP and other civil rights organizations were purely innocent in that case. They made mistakes. But the Supreme Court was like, hold on a second. This is obvious overt political weaponization of the state power of judicial control over people through the civil tort system that's going to gut First Amendment civil rights and free speech and free press in America unless we put a limit on it. And that's exactly what they're reopening that door all over again in this case. So
all
if
right,
you care
Robert,
about any constitutional right, you have to object to this case.
Let me do this. This is the final point I want to hit on this. We're going to play a little clip and come back from break and get into all the other huge news because that's where you're really going to shine here. I want your view on Russia and the economy and Matt Gaetz and the midterms in 45 days and so much more. But take Elizabeth Williamson. This woman is a Sandy Hook groupie. This woman writes her book, tries to make money on Sandy Hook, accuses me of it. She goes around for years and says stuff that's not true or twisted about me constantly. We never really follow her, but yesterday, I'm about to leave the Airbnb on that because we decided not to do the cross-examination and just do my own case next week. And one of my security guys walks over and goes, look, here's the New York Times, it's all over the news, saying your lawyer just attacked you in court and said you're a horrible person, everything you say is fake, you did a terrible job, and so that's why you're not testifying today. So I call Norm, calls me back in 10 minutes at a break, he starts literally freaking out, he said, we didn't even talk about you in the court case, it was in chambers, and you know they want to cancel this. They're on the ropes. I didn't say that. I think you did a great job. Everybody's calling me said you did a great job. He goes, you're joking. And I sent her the text, and he literally said he lost control. He started screaming at her when he saw her in the hallway, and so she says, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. So I'm thinking, Norm, I want to trust you, but it's hard to believe she lied that bad. He goes, I'm telling you, she's gonna retract. It's a lie. She then said, I'm sorry I made it up in a tweet. So she puts it out, it gets 20,000 retweets when I first saw it, saying, well, Jones's lawyer says he's horrible. That's why he's not testifying. He did such a bad job. I'll show it to you in a moment. The article's on Infowars.com. This isn't about Alex Jones. It's just like they lied about WMDs in Iraq, the New York Times. I knew they were doing it. They lie on purpose, everything they're accusing me of. Imagine if I was a court reporter and I said, this person's lawyer just got up and said their client's a horrible person. You better be able to back it up. What insulated world does Elizabeth Williamson live in? She's basically, in my view, a stalker. What insulated world do you live in where you go and make up a fake quote on Twitter not thinking people are going to challenge you? And the truth is, we've not been challenging her. But now they've gone so far. Here's the headline. Alex Jones, Sandy Hook trial, New York Times writer issues correction after tweeting fake news. And she took the tweet down so you can't see it. We have a screenshot. Alex Jones could have testified today, but as his lawyer said in court, didn't say this in court. I went back and watched the video. But as his lawyer said in court this morning, he so badly damaged himself yesterday that he's time away from the jury. Norm's doing victory laps. Everybody's calling him saying, Chris Maddie crapped the bed. Judges are calling him. Everybody's flipping out. It's incredible. Everybody agrees it blew up in their face. He gets up there and says, well, everybody, you know, we had such a big victory. We're not going to do this. She goes, well, I'm not going to let that happen. So she goes and lies. even though this is on television. None of it was said, not anything close. And then deletes the tweet and says this, folks, I'm gonna delete this tweet after talking with Ed Pattis Norm, Jones' lawyer, who raised it in the courtroom. He went in and said it's a lie, the judge will let him say it, though not with me. I asked him after what's wrong. He makes the accurate point that he did not say this as I wrote here. I apologize for the error. It's not an error, you're a lying witch that flew in there on a broom. I mean, Norm was beside us. I said, Norm, stop freaking out. When I told him, he said, I called her in the break and he goes, you're joking, she didn't say that. He said, we didn't even talk about you in the hearing. We went back and then decided to recess for the day because they were in shambles. He goes, you're joking, right? He didn't believe me. She literally pulled it out of her butt to say that and think she can do that. I mean, these people are insane. I know I'm ranting, Barnes, but give us your take on this.
Well, what you're seeing is another case of confession through projection. So here you have a libel case being covered by a journalist for the so-called paper of record in America, the New York Times. And yet she's the one doing the lying and the libeling and the defaming. So, and it reflects a broader pattern because the big allegation by her and big media has been that Alex Jones and InfoWars profited off of Sandy Hook. When the truth is, and that doing so will propagate more bad events in the future. When the truth is, it's big media. It's Elizabeth Williamson. It's the New York Times that profited off of Sandy Hook, that profits off of school shootings. And they know their continued media coverage of it, their glorification and glamorization effectively with mass publication of the shooter increases the risk of future school shootings. So the reality is it's a classic case of confession through projection, people accusing you of things that they are in fact guilty of. And that's what this is simply emblematic of. Just as this whole trial has been emblematic of the circus and show trial nature of these legal proceedings for political weaponized purposes, her interaction, this one event, is a perfect symbol, a sort of truth in a grain of sand, to quote Faulkner, of the whole nature of the big media's coverage of this case.
No, but I mean, I agree, but why would she think she could whole cloth make up something when nothing even was said like that? It was agreed behind chambers it was going to happen. They came out and adjourned for the day. And then she just says, in court, he just said his client is a joke and had to leave because he messed up so bad. I mean, it'd be like if I said, 5 tornadoes hit Austin today, and people go, look, no tornadoes were even here. It's like, I mean, my career would be over. And they just do this, like, constantly.
It's gaslighting. It's gaslighting from the old Broadway play that we made, the movie that made our popular terminology. That if you constantly tell somebody false news, that they over time believe it just through the act of repetition and your institutional standing. It just shows how accustomed they are to it. That she felt so comfortable, so at ease, lying about the case. That she didn't think there'd be any consequence for her lying about the case until Norm Pattis raised it in court and in a press conference. And then she had to deal with it. Then she had to address it. But otherwise, she probably never would have, because that's what they're used to. The New York Times is used to getting away with it. The federal judges came to their protection in Project Veritas, came to their protection in Sarah Palin's case, came to their protection in Nicholas Sandman's case. So their history of the New York Times is they never suffer consequence when they lie and they libel. And there's nobody more responsible for actual deaths from fake news than the New York Times over the last century. Whether you're talking about the Soviet famines, whether you're talking about any dumb war needless.
By the way, take your time. Soviet famines, they defended Stalin, starving millions to death.
Not only that, Walter Duranty won a prize for his coverage, for his extraordinary efforts to cover up the scale and scope of people being starved to death in the Soviet Union, often for targeted reasons like the Cossacks and the Kulaks, who he didn't want to have independent political power against his Soviet state. This mass murder, tens of millions of people covered it up. The New York Times initially helped cover up Pol Pot, Khmer Rouge, just like Noam Chomsky did in Cambodia.
You show your historical gravitas is amazing. There's a bunch of other examples. It's not just WMDs. It's not just babies in incubators who launched the first Iraq war. They are the tip of the spear of fraud.
Absolutely. There is no media organization, arguably in the world, whose fake news is more responsible for more harm and more death than the New York Times. So it's not a coincidence that Elizabeth Williamson, grifting off of Sandy Hook, but personally profiting off the pain of Sandy Hook, would lie and libel about you in a libel trial, because it once again reaffirms that if the truth came out, even with a biased jury pool, that if the truth came out, they would not get the verdict they want because they've been pitching a fake narrative about.
So let's raise this. I think Norm is really thinking about legal action against her. This is serious, folks, because this is premeditated, pure whole cloth fraud. What they accused me of, to claim that a lawyer tried to destroy his client, which could destroy his job and his legal career. I mean, Norm was so angry, he couldn't even believe what I told him, and he was just flying off. I mean, I've never seen Norm so angry, and Norm's a hothead. So, I am too. I mean, the fact that she thought she could just do this, well, let's put her picture back up there. I mean, who issues their official photo where it looks like you're a Mars Attacks alien? She's like Brian Stelter. She has no self-awareness of how nuts she looks. I mean, Charlie Manson can't make a face like that. I mean, if I could do eyes like that, I would put myself in a mental institution. I mean, anyone looks at that and says, that is a crazy person. That is a psycho. That is a crazed lunatic. I know she's hated at the New York Times, but it's serious. She wants to put us out of business. I think the New York Times should fire her. I mean, really, seriously. She's been caught fabricating whole cloth fake quotes.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a reporter who was fake news for the New York Times who got fired after the Wesley Snipes trial because he went absolutely berserk and ballistic because he was a political partisan hack secretly facilitating wrongful prosecutions rather than an honest, objective, independent journalist. And that's just the reality of the New York Times. And especially, they talk about people sort of harvesting the pain of these families. Who's harvesting the pain of these families? It's these plaintiff's lawyers, it's the press, it's Elizabeth Williamson for their personal and political and partisan profit. And it's really disgusting to see. And it's important for people to know out there, to my knowledge, over 90% of the people who have a relative who died at Sandy Hook, they're not suing Alex Jones. They're not suing InfoWars. The vast mass of people refuse to go along with this case. Only a small percentage were convinced to go along with this case. That's another fact he can't have presented to the jury. So it's part of a process where they are the ones responsible for more risk of more mass shootings. They are the ones responsible for covering up political culpability and complicity in what happened at Sandy Hook, where kids' lives could have been saved but weren't because of rogue politicians pocketing money for reasons intended originally for school safety. They're the ones covering up for Big Pharma and our failed mental health institutions for young men in America. They're the ones profiting off of all of it. And they want to blame you for standing up for the Second Amendment. And they want to blame you for second-guessing what the politicians were doing. And it exposes what the whole case is really about in a simple nutshell.
All right, well said. We're going to come back into 10 more minutes with Robert Barnes on war, on Matt Gaetz, on the vaccines being totally exposed. Huge things are happening. Super dangerous, super negative, super positive. There's a ton to hit. But here's a little short Greg Reese report with just some of the experts' excerpts of the judge saying what I couldn't talk about, putting handcuffs on me beforehand. Then we'll be right back with Robert Barnes, InfoWars.com, tomorrow's news today.
The biggest concern for the judge in the Alex Jones trial is for the jury to see through their deception. So before the jury is allowed in, she clearly reminds Jones how he's not allowed to defend himself.
There's certain areas that your attorney is well aware of, as is opposing counsel, that are not going to be asked about and cannot be testified about. And I'm more than happy to go over, it's a very short list, and I'm more than happy to go over it with you if you want me to, but if you don't want me to, that's fine too. I'm simply trying to avoid any issues in front of the jury. I don't want to have any unpleasantness, there's no other way to put it. So that's why I'm willing to do it if you want me to do it, but I don't have to do it.
Well, please do, Judge, because...
Okay, that's enough.
My lawyers, they told me about
that. The yes was enough. That's all I need to know. And the lawyers know not to ask you these questions, so the only way there would be a problem is if you gave a non-responsive answer. So if I just go over it briefly, I don't think we're going to have any problem at all. So the lawyers are not going to ask you about, nor can you offer any testimony about, the plaintiff's settlements with the former defendants, Wolfgang Helbig and Corey Splanka, the Soto versus Bushmaster case, and who the plaintiff did not sue. So I understand you may not agree with those rulings, and this is just a yes or a no answer. Do you understand that you may not testify on those topics?
Yes.
Okay. So there can be no testimony, and there's not going to be any questions, obviously, regarding the maximum amount of Sandy Hook coverage on your shows or the percentage or proportion of Sandy Hook coverage. Yes or no, do you understand that that's not testimony that you can offer? You're not going to be asked about it, and you can't offer it.
Yes.
Good. Okay. You may not offer testimony, and you're not going to be asked about whether you substantially complied or you produced everything or that you challenged the basis for the default ruling. All of these issues may be the basis for an appeal, but they're not going to be asked, nor can you offer that testimony. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Finally, the First Amendment is not an issue in this hearing in damages. No one is going to ask you about the First Amendment. This is not the appropriate forum for you to offer that testimony. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes.
All right. Is there anything that prevents you from understanding what we just talked about?
I understand. As long as they don't ask those questions.
Right. They're not going to ask you those questions. If they did, I mean, they're officers of the court and they understand the rulings, so they're not going to ask you those questions.
After attacking free speech systems, all-American business model, the plaintiffs then focus on a single video that went viral 10 years ago featuring Robbie Parker. This video was played on InfoWars because it was a viral video, which alone made it newsworthy. Once the plaintiffs established that InfoWars played this video, they dramatically introduced an emotional Robbie Parker in the courtroom. The cameras move in for the close-up, shaking with emotion by the mere presence of Alex Jones for playing a viral video. As far as Alex Jones's crimes, it's not clear what their claim is, but their argument is clear. According to the plaintiffs, alternative media should not exist and should not be allowed to report the news. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
And you've called this judge a tyrant, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you actually use that word a lot with your audience. You call people tyrants, don't you?
Only when they act like it.
You encourage your audience to give you money is in cryptocurrency donations, right?
Yes.
And you have a page on your website that is just for cryptocurrency donations, right?
Infowars.com/crypto.
Is that a little advertisement just there?
Well, we're fighting the deep state. We need money.
All right. This is it. Give crypto. Fund Infowars. Sponsor us with Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, right? That will end up as a clip on your show tonight. Your advertisement for a cryptocurrency page.
You know, I mean, people want to keep us in the fight. So I hope whoever the big whales are that give us money before we keep doing it.
We'll just keep minting money as you're in this courtroom.
Objection, Judge.
All right, let's move on.
No, I
mean, and
people care about the First Amendment. All right, Robert Barnes, appreciate your time on this live Saturday broadcast. Closing comments on this, because in Texas and in Connecticut, they say, we're going to shut him down. That's our mission. But he can't say we're trying to shut him down. And they say, we're going to use this against everybody else. I mean, thank God folks are finally starting to get this, because I'm getting buzz everywhere that even mainline liberals are going, whoa, this is dangerous.
If they can set the precedent that they can do a show trial in America that even would embarrass the Soviet Union, then they will use it as a precedent. And just as the platform, deplatforming of you, which you're also not allowed to talk about in the trial, was the canary in the coal mine as to the intentions of big tech social media censorship control, This case will be used as the template to use against other politically disfavored dissidents in weaponizing the civil and criminal justice system for politicized partisan purposes that will gut the meaning of our of everybody having their day in court. Whatever you think of Alex Jones or InfoWars, everybody's entitled to their day in court, and that's what they're denying you. Anything that even vaguely resembles your day in court.
All right, what do you want to hit first? The huge vaccine news, the huge Matt Gaetz frame-up collapses news, the Russia news, World War III news, the inflation news, it all ties together. What do you want to hit first?
First big news that looks like the U.S. Supreme Court will finally weigh in on the vaccine mandate context, if at least as to Title VII and the religious right to have a religious objection to it, because a lot of courts are waiting on the U.S. Supreme Court to say that this, in fact, does violate your rights of religious conscience. If they are actually going to take the New York case, I think the only reason they would do so is to say that the vaccine mandate violates religious rights under the First Amendment and Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. And it's analogous provision. So that could be a very big, big decision. And that comes right on the right after the big Fifth Circuit decision just last week, which said now people can sue for big tech social media censorship in Texas. Now they can get their attorney's fees, they can get certain costs, they can get an injunction, they can get declaratory relief. So that means anybody who gets censored by Google, by YouTube, by Twitter, by Facebook, by Instagram, can now file suit in Texas to get themselves reinstated on those platforms if the basis of their exclusion was viewpoint political discrimination. So that was a huge ruling that hopefully the Supreme Court will affirm if it takes it up at all. So those are two big rulings. And then a third ruling on the vaccine mandate case came out yesterday. A state court in New York recognized that the vaccine mandate on firemen and policemen was illegal and was not properly issued, and demanded that those people be reinstated. I met many of them up in New York a couple of months ago. So that too, you know, we're seeing some headway in the vaccine mandate context. Even Canada has cases docketed to deal with it.
And again, you didn't bring yourself up here, but we need credit where credit's due, so folks know who's effective. You were involved at the center of the whistleblower to Robert Kennedy and the lawsuits that have gotten the documents out that are bringing them down right now. Their whole agenda is forced inoculation to control the autonomy of your body, to put into you what they want, so there isn't a more important fight other than stopping nuclear war that anybody's involved in. And I was there with several senior New York police officers who were in their off time providing security for us, we've used for years. Great people, I won't say who they are, but these are great people, great military veterans as well. And they told me Thursday, they said, don't announce it yet. And then I got busy and never got to it Friday. They said, you can announce it in the morning. But the mayor is backing off forced inoculation in New York. We've just got the word through the police union. And so sure enough, the next morning it broke. Adams to sunset private sector vaccine mandates and not make the police department and the fire department and others take it. I mean, that shows the pressure everybody's put on them. And it's outrageous they got this far. But boy, this is a big victory.
Oh, no doubt. And it comes on the eve of the court holding hearings. In my case with Robert Kennedy against the FDA for trying to force this vaccine on children as young as 6 months old. More medical data keeps pouring out that the vaccine is causing more injury than it prevents, particularly for young people. And it's causing record levels of excess deaths in certain categories and disability claims in a wide range of categories. So more and more of the evidence continues to accumulate in our favor, predicting what we said would actually be the case with this vaccine, which is not even a vaccine.
So Barnes, what comes next? Because, you know, I do this, you do this, the listeners do this, and I'm not mad at any of us. I'm just frustrated. In your whole life you lived, just the one thing you've done with your Pfizer lawsuit makes your life heroic and a good thing and positive. I don't think listeners get what they've done supporting you and me. And we all need to kind of not have a victory lap, but just go, whoa, we're hurt. We're bleeding, but man, we're starting to beat some ass here. I mean, you know, we need to realize we've got the initiative right now. Folks need to get all this gloom and doom is terrible. We're exposing it, but it's to wake people up, not to demoralize folks, and that we're winning. Closing comments on that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, the Pfizer whistleblower suit for Brooke Jackson is the suit that could unwind all of this and expose Pfizer once and for all. It would be the smart move of President Trump to embrace that suit. to be able to say, you know what? I wanted there to be a safe, effective vaccine. They lied to me. They said it was safe. They said it was effective. They said it was a vaccine. It was none of those things. And support Brooke Jackson's suit against Pfizer to expose their fraud on the American people. The FDA suit that we're bringing against the FDA with Bobby Kennedy is going to be going to court. And I'm now representing Amos Miller, the Amish farmer, because that's the attempt of the U.S. Department of Agriculture to monopolize control of food and what goes into your body.